There once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a Bully of Tea. The winds blew up her bowed up down. Oh, below my bully boys blow. Soon may the willow man come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. She'd not been too.
Hi there, and welcome to Drunk History Presents The Dark Ride, a Disney Parks podcast hiding in a drinking game. Here we will talk about and rate all of your favorite and not-so-favorite rides and attractions, maybe catch some interesting facts along with our buzz. My name is Ryan, and I'm here with my co-host, Adrian. We are two diehard fans of the House of Mouse, and we started this show because we know that cool people, y'all like this stuff too. So we're here to normalize all you adulting Disney files and have a few beverages while we're at it. Now that that's out of the way, what are we going to talk about? Arrgh, it's the boundless. The sea is everything. It covers 7/10 of the terrestrial globe. Its breath is pure and healthy. It's an immense desert where man is never lonely, for he feels life stirring on all sides. The sea is only the embodiment of a supernatural and wonderful existence. It is nothing but love and emotion. It is the living infinite. What did the first mate see down the toilet? The captain's log. Hey, today we're going to get our Red October on as we brave the depths of the salty brine on Finding Nemo's submarine voyage. So let's get some drinks and some facts, and we going to be right back, matey.
You can't take the heat, get your ass out the kitchen. We on a mission.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good, Ryan. I didn't know you had such a good pirate voice.
I didn't either.
You have the same voice like in Pirates that they say in the beginning, like in that beginning voice.
Yeah.
When they're kind of like telling you to keep your hands. Yeah, like, that voice.
Don't touch the water, maybe. I've been practicing all day. This is why my voice sounds like
you spoke
a little
that way
raspy.
All day.
Yeah. The meetings that I had today, interesting.
It went a weird way. All of a sudden, somebody asked me if I had a peg leg.
This is wrong. Walk the plank.
I see rough swalls ahead. Is swalls a word?
Squalls.
Squalls. Yeah. Squalls.
With a squa.
Squa. Yeah.
Just add a squa to it. How are you?
I'm
Are you ready
great.
To get naughty? I mean nautical?
Nautical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phew.
Yeah.
That was close.
That was close. Sorry.
Sorry
to scare you.
We should get some drinks, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to need them.
ASAP.
Yeah. We're on a boat.
We're on a boat. Oh, yeah. We're on a boat.
Yeah, you can't be on a boat.
This is a booze cruise here.
Yeah. Fishing sober is like hunting sober.
Driving sober.
So today we're going to get nautical with a couple cocktail classics that we're slipping into the sand with sea breezes.
What?
Fucking classic cocktail, the sea breeze.
Nice. That's like something my mom would order.
Right? It's an iconic 80s drink. Light, refreshing cocktail pairs perfectly with sunny days of the beach. Obviously, I had to doctor this one up a little bit because, okay. You know, I want to make it a little bit nicer. I made it a little bit sweeter and a little bit more well-rounded by adding some bitters to it. So we're going to do 1.5 ounces of vodka, 3 ounces of cranberry juice, 1.5 ounces of grapefruit juice, freshly squozed. Garnish with a lime wheel. And then I added a 1/2 ounce of simple syrup to ours, which kind of kicks up the sweetness. And then just a dash of Angostura bitters to kind of make it like a real cocktail and not, you know, something that you drank in high school. So
let me try it. Ah, it's refreshing.
Yes.
Anything with grapefruit is very refreshing to me.
Very refreshing.
What is it about that?
I don't know, like maybe the bitterness.
Yeah, it feels like the morning.
It does feel like drinking in the morning is.
You wouldn't
like
say I'm having a grapefruit for dinner. You'd be in an insane asylum.
I don't think I've ever had a grapefruit for dinner, now that you say that.
I've never had a grapefruit for any, I cannot get it. Like, the physical fruit.
You don't like the physical fruit?
No.
No,
tastes too
big or what?
Too like bitter to me. It's very like it's got a very intense taste.
I don't like I only like the pink grapefruit.
Yeah,
for the fruit.
I like it for some reason, like a pink grapefruit juice, whatever. But for some reason, eating, like I'm always like, gives me that like
The white. What's the white part called? The pith, right?
Ew.
Yeah,
it's a word. A really
that's
gross
a, that's
word.
That's a word right
it's a
there.
Terrible word.
That's what my new right album's gonna be called. The pith.
Ew.
Anyways, the pith of like a grapefruit, I feel like is like very specific and like because it's just like you know an inch and a half thick. It's
yeah,
so, it's like
the yeah. fruit is very extra.
Yeah,
all around,
it's very extra all around. but
this drink is delicious.
It goes good in a drink. So,
I like.
Cool. So we are doing Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage out on the West Coast.
What up,
West what Side? Up West Side?
Yeah.
So this is in Disneyland. It's a boat ride like none other, because you're going to be looking under the surface. It is inspired by the beloved Disney Pixar film Finding Nemo, and it's an immersive attraction that takes you on a thrilling adventure through vibrant coral reefs, sunken shipwrecks.
Uh-oh. This drink is a little stronger than Ryan remembers.
The sea breeze, Rye. All teeming with audio animatronic marine life.
Yeah.
You get to peer through little portholes as you encounter a host of familiar characters from the film Finding Nemo, including Marlin, Dory, and Nemo himself. And then you join them on a quest to reunite the little Nemo with his family. It's very... very nice.
I mean, Nemo is kind of a pain in the ass.
I mean, you know,
stay by your dad.
If ever there was, a fish leash, I think that's what. Marlin,
you put him on it.
Marlin needs a fish leash.
Yeah.
So we'll get right into some interesting facts about this one.
I'm interested.
Why not?
I'm interested in the facts.
This is a Tony Baxter designed remodel.
Really?
Yeah. So it was, there was an original ride that was back in the, back in 57. So like very soon after the park opened. It kept on falling apart, basically. Water attractions, water destroys everything. So it would have to get like redone and remodeled like quite often, more often than most of the other attractions. And it was down a lot. And at one point, they were going to just, fill it with sand or something. You know, like they were going to just like get rid of it.
Right.
And, submerge it. And Tony Baxter like went on like a full like campaign to try to save the subs. And the reason that he was so like fervent about this, is that a word? That's probably not a word. About this, the saving of the subs is because in the summer of 69, the T-Man himself was a ride operator on the subs.
Oh.
Yeah. So he like worked it and loves the subs. So.
Back in the summer of 69. That was about Tony Baxter working on the submarine.
Yeah. Some people were having the summer of love and Tony was having the summer of smelling farts.
It's a stinky ride.
It is a stinky, stinky ride. So this is the ride that started it all. Disneyland submarines were part of the attractions that led to the creation of the e-ticket. When the park first opened, it had these things called value books, and the books included coupons that allowed guests to go on like an attraction, and they were based on popularity, A, B, C, and D. And then in 1959, those ticket books included the new attractions, which were the monorail, the Matterhorn bobsleds, the submarine voyage, and the some other junk too, like the railroad, the Rainbow Ridge pack mules, and the stagecoach ride, and the Mark Twain riverboat / sailing ship Columbia, which were all considered the new exciting attractions, the e-ticket attractions. The value books have since long gone. We now pay one ticket price to get in and experience everything. But the nomenclature remains. That's where e-ticket came from for probably nobody who's listening to this, because they probably already know this. The The maiden voyage, that's about e-tickets, expanding the horizon in 1959, Disneyland saw its first expansion, and there are 8 of these submarines, and Disney himself boasted that Disneyland owned the 9th largest submarine fleet in the world, like military submarine fleet. Even though these are not really
submarines. Yeah, are these like toy submarines?
I mean, they're real boats, but they're boats. Like, they don't dive, right? So like, they're not real submarines. They're just like fancy glass bottom boats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go a little under the water.
Sure.
They're not tightening it. What is it? The Titan? You know, the submarine.
Oy.
Sorry to make it dark.
Damn.
I mean, but when you think of that Kung right now, that is a thing that people think about now. That happened on my birthday, June 18th.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, June 18th is when that thing exploded.
They did it for you, huh? It was nice of them. Blow out the candles.
Oh, yeah, let's move on.
So back in the 50s, the lagoon that the subs go through had a mermaid infestation.
Infestation?
Yeah. I mean, there were mermaids in there.
Okay.
So Disney would pay women to put on the tail and get in this super highly chlorinated water.
Right? With the subs.
With the subs, yep.
Oh, wow.
And they would, you know, go out and there'd be like a mermaid rock in the middle. But there was like live people, like face characters or whatever out there, you know, flip-flopping their tail around.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool, but the water is super highly chlorinated.
Yeah, I was going to say, this can't be good.
So like, all the women were getting, like going blind, essentially.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Not like for real, like, going, like, just, you know, having eye problems.
Oh, no.
And then, and their hair was, like, you know, changing color to, like, green.
Oh, no.
And so that was, like, one problem with having live mermaids. The other problem is that you just can't trust a 1950s guy. So a lot of dudes were jumping into that lake to try to swim out and meet the women. Meet the mermaids. So, yeah, it was happening, like, more than you would think. Of, like, dudes just hopping in to this, like, you know, a dangerous ride attraction.
What do they call, like men like that? The cad?
Yeah, like, auga.
Yeah. Auga. Yeah.
Like, hubba, 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 hubba.
Oh, God. Awful.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's so crazy. Like, they couldn't help themselves. They had to jump in the water.
I mean, that's somebody's grandfather today.
I mean, if that happened today, the amount of TikToks about somebody jumping into the
water. Well, I mean, we get
it. And then everyone would do their, like, you know, holier than now. Come on, everybody. Can't you just behave in the parks? And
I mean, like, in all honesty, in 15, 20 years, are we going to be doing this podcast and be insane?
I hope not, Ryan.
It's a Small World had a big problem in the 2020s where people were getting off. And,
yeah,
you know,
people were doing meth on Small World. Yeah.
But we've had two instances this year of people getting off and just, like, doing what they want.
Crazy things happen in these parks.
It's wild. They have given it a few, like, paint jobs over the years. When in the 50s it was, like, kind of more naturalistic, both, like, underwater in the scenes as well as the boats themselves, they were, like, a military gray color. I think in California they were always, like, shaped like a submarine, like a, you know, like a military or, like, explorer submarine. In Florida, I know they used to have, like, the Nautilus, like, from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, like, that shape of the boat. So, like, that's the one that I remember.
That's the one I remember, too.
And it was, like, such a cool shaped vessel, you know?
Yeah.
Those, for the most part, they have been, you know, put into dry docks and sold off and scrapped for pieces and stuff like that. But there is one at Disney's Bahamas Island for the cruise ships that they've sunk out in the water, and now it's like an artificial reef.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool. And, like, I don't know that they, like, tell you where it is. Like, you kind of have to, like,
try to find it.
Go and explore and find it. But
what a cool thing.
But I watched Tim Tracker's video, and he found it like, you know, it was out there.
That's so, fun. That's so that's fun.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
I like that. You see they have like the Prince Eric statue.
Is that under there too?
Yeah. Yeah. They have that. Like, that's cool.
I think it's great. Those are great ideas. And artificial reefs are super important. And, sure. You know, like, sure. Yeah. Make cool. Like, I've always wanted to do one of those like scuba diving art walks, you know, like where there's like cool giant sculptures underwater and you yeah. like swim around them and stuff.
Do you ever see the video where they take like the subway cars and they dump them out into the middle of exactly. the ocean and then they become artificial
reefs? Yeah, they become artificial reefs.
Cool. Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So in the 1980s, they put like very expressive colors all over like the coral and everything, as well as painting the submarines themselves yellow, kind of like the expedition vessels, mm-hmm. which were yellow at the time, as well as yellow submarine, which is kind of fun. Yeah. The Beatles.
We all live in one.
Mm-hmm. we all do.
We all live there.
So the boats at that point were renamed Nautical Exploration and Marine Observation, NEMO.
That's a lot. So I can't handle any of their naming stuff.
But like Little Nemo.
Yeah, I get it.
Finding him.
They're nautical finding him. Exploration.
And marine observation. This is pretty...
Right, that's pretty... It's not pretty, so bad. It's pretty cute. So bad. Yeah.
There's a ton of little hidden Nemos all around. When they redid the ride, they put them everywhere. And then they've since like kind of scrapped a lot of them. But if you keep your eye out, you'll still find them throughout the line and throughout like the little rock work and stuff like that. There's also a lot of characters in the ride that are like kind of a little bit hidden away. For instance, like Darla, you know, like that little psycho girl with the bag of fish.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find her in the lagoon, and she's got a little plastic bag with fish in it that she's captured, which is kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a giant fish scene swimming through the ruins that kind of looks like Disney's Atlantis movie, like okay. You know, the ruins do. There's a tiki statue that kind of looks like it's from the tiki room, kind of modeled after that. There's a hidden sea serpent and mermaid rock foundation formation. There's a graveyard of ships where you can find Bruce with the shark and his friends. Mm. And then as far as the sights and sounds, there's Beyond the Sea, which is a instrumental song from Finding Nemo, and that plays upon your departure.
Well, Beyond the Sea is not originally from Finding Nemo. You're talking about Beyond the Sea, Bobby Darin?
I don't know.
Somewhere beyond the sea. That song?
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere. That's my mom's favorite song of all time. That's like very, like it's an old fancy song. Like,
oh, it's an old fancy song.
It's a beautiful song. It's not originally from Finding Nemo.
Well, all right, fine. So I thought we could maybe play a game.
Okay.
Like a little drinking game.
Okay.
Get us going.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a bunch of quotes. I'm going to turn my screen so you can't
I'm
see not, it.
I'm looking at you. I'm
Yeah. Cheater.
Not a cheater.
So you have to tell me if this is a quote from Captain Nemo of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Finding Nemo / Dory.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the quote, and you tell me if it's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Finding Nemo. If you get it wrong, you drink.
Wait, one is from 20,000 Leagues, one is from Nemo?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be pretty easy, because one's a Pixar film and one's...
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a misdirect, but go ahead.
It is evidently a gigantic narwhal and an electric one.
Gigantic narwhal? And an electric one?
Narwhal's the...
I know what the narwhal is.
Oh, all right, okay. You're like, I've seen Elf, motherfucker.
I've seen Elf. 20,000 Leagues.
That's true. Okay. I'll take a sip. I'm going to lose every single one of these.
No, you're
ones.
Not. I'm not going to get them all.
If his destiny be strange, it is also sublime.
I'm going to say it's also 20,000 Leagues.
Shit. I look at you, and I'm home.
Oh, that's Nemo.
Damn it. This is going to be... I'm going to be so
Hammered
by the end of this.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to operate a boat.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm going to have you drive me home.
And that's not good.
And not good for anybody. The Earth does not want new continents, but new men.
20,000.
Okay. I thought this was closer. I promise I'll never let anything happen to him. That's a funny thing to promise. What? Well, you can't never let anything happen to him. That would mean that nothing would ever happen to him.
Nemo. Sorry.
I think you've seen this movie too many times.
I mean, I know the premise of the movie.
Okay, yep. I discovered it, ventured into it, and before long, sir, you would have to have passed through it.
20,000 weeks.
I even, like, cut it off because the last bit was going to be, like, very obvious. Okay. We got this. We got this.
You need me to get one wrong.
I would love it. I would love it. The best things happen by chance because that's life. That's you being without me in the ocean, not some safe glass box.
Nemo. Sorry.
Fucking A.
I mean,
I know, glass box.
I'll drink, though, for being that good at the game.
Yeah, well, you're about to get a 100, I think. It's because I like you. I don't want to be with you. It's a complicated emotion.
That could be a trick.
20,000. Thank God. Drink up.
See, I
that's our game, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought it was just too obvious. Okay.
Thank God. No, the obvious one was, I shall call him Squishy and he shall be mine. He shall be called my Squishy. Yeah. Okay, that's it for our game, but yeah. I think that we should probably play our show's game.
Yeah, let's play that game.
Cool.
And with your mermaid hair and your teeth so sharp, you crawl from the sea to break that sailor's heart. You only get one night upon the shore, so dance like you've never danced before.
Are you ready to play Drink That Ride?
I am, yes.
Okay. For this one, we're going to play a Drink the Difference game where we're going to rank the rides on a series of categories and take a drink after each one. The shittier the ride is, the drunker you're going to get. For instance, if the category is out of 5 and you rank it a 3, then you're going to take 2 sips, chugs, shots, gargles, nips of your favorite beverage. Try the sea breeze, try water, get your hydration station on.
Okay.
We have 5 categories. We have queue, 5 points, length of ride, 5 points, thrill level, 5 points, immersion, that includes the sights, the sounds, the ride vehicle, that's 10 points. Then finally, we have the fun level, that's 25 points, our dark horse category. Disney's selling this fun for a whole lot of money.
Lot.
So is it worth it, basically? Are you having fun? This is where we do. We start at the start, and that is the queue. Woo! It's a pretty weak queue.
Yeah, I actually remember hating it.
Yeah, it's pretty weak overall. It's not like it's not horrible because you're like in a nice area of of the park. Like you're in Fantasyland. You're at like you're looking up at the Matterhorn Mountain, yeah. Which is really nice.
But that's one of the charming things about Disneyland in general is that like
it's everything's on top of one another.
Yeah, like you kind of like can vibe out on anything. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, it's not so spread out.
Yeah, and so I don't know that we give it like extra points for the vibes that it's stealing from other things. it's essentially just like a metal guardrail switchback queue. It's lightly themed to the Australian harbor that that Nemo is in.
Is Nemo Australian?
Yeah, he's on the
Barbie.
What's God? What's Crush say?
Crush is totally Australian, man. Yeah,
but he's like we're on the something current.
Yeah, yeah, like, but he's definitely
The Great Barrier Current or something.
I love Crush.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's Australian. Like, that area is definitely Australia.
I mean, I guess fish wouldn't have an accent, so.
It's true.
How would you know?
Yeah.
That's when people get all bent out of shape about Sebastian having a Jamaican accent but being in Denmark. It's like, but would he have an accent?
Yeah. Crabs don't talk.
Crabs don't talk.
They just itch.
That's good.
The wait time is typically top out at around 40 minutes, so not so crazy. You're not in that line for forever anyways. Ride access. Submarines cannot accommodate wheelchairs or anybody that would need to transfer. The ride is inside these, like, you know, this submarine that you go down like a spiral staircase to. So guests must be able to walk up and down a short flight of steps. Those steps are rather tight.
It's
not very comfortable to get down there for bigger people. Guests with mobility limitations, including those in wheelchairs or ECVs, or really anybody that is claustrophobic or doesn't want to walk down these stairs or anything like that. There is an alternate presentation available of the whole thing. The voyage has been filmed in high definition and can be viewed on a 61-inch plasma screen at the nearby theater in the adjacent Marine Observation Outpost, or MOO.
I mean, that's...
fucked up.
That's, yeah.
The view is the same as it would be seen through a porthole of the submarines. Anybody wishing to use the separate viewing room just needs to wait in the standard queue and then ask the ride attendant, and they'll usher you over there.
Yeah, I mean, that must suck. It's like you wait 40 minutes to go watch a plasma
scream. Yeah, but if you don't have, I peeked my head in there to see what it was like, and it is, like, nice. It's, like, nicely set up, and if you...
Don't I mean, have they the have they figured out there. Something to do. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have the ability to go down there, then it's at
and
least
it is
something.
It is one of the more.
I would not wait in fucking line though. I would just go up to the attendant and be like, "Oh, sorry. Like, can I just go watch the movie?"
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to people, guys. You don't have to like play by the rules all the time.
Well, you play by the rules, but you could ask somebody if
bend them
if it's okay if they bend them, and I'm sure they would say yes.
Yeah, Beckham bended it all the time.
Yeah, and he
made a whole movie about it.
Bend it like him. What a dumb name for a movie! I hated that.
It was pretty bad.
Bend it like Beckham. Go screw yourself.
Yeah, Bex. Okay, I've got a scorecard out. This is out of 5 points.
Oh, it's terrible. And I'll tell you what. Like, if you wait on a horrible queue, like the teacups, at least it's only like maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops.
This has a really long, like, even if there's not that many people in line here, just the boarding and onboarding process takes so long on this that the line is long even if there's
not. Yeah, and you're just kind of like watching the boat slowly move around and just being like, wow, I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to give it a one.
Oof. Adrian's.
I really remember hating it.
I'm going to give it a two because it's bad, but it is, I don't know. There's something about it that I like. Like, you're just looking out over the lagoon. You see the little boats moving. I like
all
that.
Okay, that's cool. You don't have to justify your two. That's not a great score either.
Length of ride is our next category. This ride is 13 minutes and 45 seconds.
So good.
Big, chunky ride. You get to experience like a lot of different like moments in it. You know, you get to experience the dive, which is always my favorite, with the little bubbles that are going up, make you feel like you're diving down.
Yeah.
And then you go around the lagoon, and then you go into like this back, like basically like into a building.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like an entire experience in there where you're like deep underground,
right? Looking through the portals,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a good amount of ride.
Yeah, I think that you get a lot of bang for your 40-minute wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's solid. I'll give it a four.
I like that. I like fours.
Fours for the tape.
Fours for the tape.
We'll drink one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I have to drink, I have to drink
a lot. I have to drink a lot from that last round. I was like, sea breeze.
Sea breeze. Are you ready to drink again? Because we're talking thrill level.
Okay, but it's not a one on thrill.
Well, Well, there's no height restriction, period. Right. It's, you know, fast, classic Fantasyland dark ride. It is claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So if you have those kind of thrill issues, then maybe you'll get something out of it. But overall, it's pretty tame.
It's tame, but
I find it very relaxing.
You are underwater.
Not really, but yeah.
But, you know.
Seemingly.
Seemingly, but that, like, something that's a one, again, I'll bring up teacups, like, you know, it's a 1 minute, you're in a cup, you're out, you know, that's a one to me. But this one, you got to go down that really slim spiral staircase into this little hall.
You could trip and fall.
But it's, sure. And that's kind of spook, just the idea of, like, heading down and, you know, going in this claustrophobic little den. I don't think it's a one.
Okay.
I think for a child, it's probably pretty, like, wow, it's pretty cool. Pretty thrilling.
Okay.
Maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm giving it a two.
Okay. I'm going to give it a one.
Okay. You drink four.
This is why you're upping numbers so you don't have to drink as much. No. I get it. I see how this goes. Okay. Well, this is going to be a tough drive home today. Next is immersion. This includes the sights, the sounds, the ride vehicle. It's out of 10 points. The ride vehicle is technically a boat because it doesn't really dive underwater. There are 8 of them, and they are electrically powered.
Mm-hmm.
Each boat holds 40 people, and throughout the ride, there are 126 animatronics throughout the tank. That tank holds 6.3 million gallons of water. The submarines hold 7.4 trillion gallons of fart.
Is there anything else like this?
I don't think that there's anything else like this in the world.
I haven't gone to a theme park where there's been faux submarines. When you're talking immersion, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, like, you're like in an aquarium, but not in an aquarium.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the part where the immersion sucks. The fact that it's not real down there, that sucks.
You'd rather if it was real
fishies. I'd rather if we were seeing fish.
Mm.
That's the part where, like, if we were seeing fish and had in those things, that ride would be fire. If we were seeing real fish.
I mean, maybe, but, like, real fish don't like to be seen, right? So they would just be hiding all the time.
They'd have to stock it up. Even, like, sharks, little stingrays, little, you know, they get a bunch of fish in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably not do it because it's dangerous for them. It's highly chlorinated water. Well, they put humans in there, but fish, no way.
Yeah.
They'd have to make it fresh water or they have to do something else, but...
Or make it, yeah, like the world's biggest, like,
fish fresh tank. Water pool.
Yeah, or saltwater pool.
Saltwater pool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fakeness of that, that's what I hate. I hate the fake.
See, I like the fake here. Like the nostalgia fake, almost like beaten and battered, falling apart, like weird seaweed that's wafting and you can
see the cracks. We're talking about immersion, though. That if you like that, that's a fun thing. That's not...
I'm gonna think
it's immersive.
Its points are going to go in the fun part, for sure.
Okay.
The immersion, for me, I agree, like, that it's beaten and torn and, and, you know, broken.
And for fake.
Me, yeah, for me. And obviously fake. Mm-hmm. Purposely, obviously fake.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like some of the new additions to it, like the projections on screens in the water, similar to how it's done at the Living Seas, where it is done with real fish,
mm-hmm.
As well as I think just like the bubbles where you feel like you're diving. Like, yeah. There's things that are just pure, like, magic that happen here.
I think it gets major points for a ride vehicle. Yeah. I don't think there's any ride vehicle like that. No matter that it is a fart factory,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty. It wouldn't be made today.
No.
Tony Baxter had to save it, or else it would.
It's pretty amazing that it still exists. Period.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm probably coming in maybe like halfway through.
I was going to say I'm a five.
You're a five. I think I'm like maybe a six. I think I'm a six. All right. So, not a 65. That's not true. Okay. This is not working for me. That's better. Okay. So the last category is fun.
So we only had four categories in the technical?
Cue, length, thrill, and immersion.
Okay. So I'm at a 12, you're at a 13.
This is true.
Yeah.
I think that's
about halfway.
It's about a halfway ride.
Yeah, it is.
So this is out of 25 points. It's, to me, it's super nostalgic.
Yes.
Super nostalgic. It does look, it's always seen better day. It comes out the gate like it was beat up.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's tough.
It's a ride from the 50s.
Yeah. I love that it still exists. I love that
70-year-old ride.
I love that it's nowhere else. The nostalgia factor is like through the roof. Does that mean that it's fun? It's tough, you know? Like, I'm almost like more appreciative of it than...
Right, like in a way of like a piece of art.
Yeah, like a piece of art. I also really do like what it does to the environment of the area. Like, I like the kinetic... ness of it. I like that the monorail like has posts that are sitting in it, and the monorail goes over it, and the subs are going under it.
There's some things in the parks that I just like looking at that I don't need to go on. Like, obviously, Astro Orbiters is for the kinetic energy.
Absolutely.
This is one of those too. I just like seeing those things sort of move around slowly, and I don't need to go in them.
Well, you know what's going on in there. And you're like, okay, like I know what's going on in there.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's cool.
That's fun, but I don't need to go in it. And usually when I go in it, I'm like, oh, this thing stinks.
It, like, literally stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it smells bad down there. It
smells real bad down there.
Yeah, it's a morning it's a morning attraction, for sure.
People get stinkier as the day goes on. Oh, we all know that, everybody.
Yeah. 3 o'clock monorail.
The monorail at 3 o'clock, and the Finding Nemo ride at Disneyland at, I don't know, 11?
10:35. If you don't rope drop,
this, you better bring some clothespins for your nosies. Finding napkins.
I will say
finding nose plugs.
That's fun. I will say that I got the opportunity to ride this with the churro in me, and I liked it.
That's a pro move.
That was fun.
Okay, you heard it here.
Yeah, that was fun.
Actually, one time we're going
to... Very relaxing.
One time we're going to rank the most churro-worthy rides that are the best. And this is a good one for that.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. It's nice and long. It's cool and dark.
Vibe out.
And you can, like, you just stare.
Yeah.
You just stare. Nothing's going to stare back at you. You're good.
Don't get paranoid.
Yeah.
All right, this is a... I gave this a 12 technically. For fun, I'm going to give it a 10.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Less than the tech.
Technically, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't find it to be super fun.
Yeah, sure. I love it so much in its existence that I'm going to give it one more than what I gave it technically.
Okay.
So it's going to get a 14. And it probably doesn't deserve it, but
no, I think that's fine.
We're gonna give it anyways. I've given it a 27 out of 50. You've given it a 22. Our average together, we're coming in at 24.5. So tie goes to the ride. It's at the halfway point.
Hey, you know what?
25. That's
pretty good for that ride, for that old clunker.
Yeah, I think it probably doesn't quite deserve that, but
no, I don't.
But it's okay.
Why not? It's like getting a 50 on the test. It's not a great score.
It still has to go to summer.
Has to go to summer school.
So is this like? What do you think? Is this a must do for you when you're in Disneyland?
No.
Is it a must? Like there's some rides that like I won't even give the time of day to.
Yeah.
But like, With this one, even if I'm not doing it, I am like walking by. I'm appreciating it.
I'm appreciating it.
Taking a look at it, that type of thing.
Yeah, checking it out.
Yeah. There's some rides, you know, Casey Jr.'s train or whatever. That, oh, yeah. You could tell me it doesn't exist, and I'd be like, okay.
Great.
Maybe I have, what's the thing when you have Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain Bears? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're like, you have like a mismemory, like a...
Oh, it starts with an M.
The mandala effect.
Mandala effect, yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I like looking at it. It just feels to me like park scenery. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad somebody gets to appreciate it. It does always have a line.
Yep.
So people are riding it, and I'm really happy about that. Keep riding it. It's a 70-year-old ride, and we want to preserve those. Yeah. So.
Maybe bring a snorkel with you. It is 70 years old.
Maybe bring nose plugs and a churro.
Yes. I think that's kind of where we are with this.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's what this one is.
That's what it is. It's a cute little thing.
It's a cute little thing.
It doesn't exist anywhere else. That's what makes this park really special.
Agreed. Yeah. This one has more of that than any of the others.
Yeah. Right?
So. I think we did it.
I think
we solved the submarines.
Solved Disney.
The Dark Ride is presented by Drunk Distry and is available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're getting your podcasts these days. The show is free, but you can always pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Those really, really, really help us out. Please rate, review, subscribe. You can also help us by just telling a fellow Disney Parks loving friend about us. And if you do that...
That would be really sweet.
Yeah, if you do that, we'd be very happy.
Totes preach.
Yeah. You can feel free to hit me up at drunkdistry@gmail.com. Feel free to hit up Adrian on our socials. You can get us...
Social Adrian.
You can get a social butterfly.
On the internet.
You can get, it's just so true.
It's so true. Ryan's the social one in real life. I'm the social one on the internet.
It's very true. On Instagram, you can get us at The Dark Ride Podcast. And on TikTok, you can get us at Drunk Distry. Tons and tons of great theme parks content on those. Thank you so, so much for joining us. We're rounding out our 4 years. We're going to have a special episode coming up soon.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
4-year anniversary.
We've been doing this for 4 years. And thank you all. It's because of you that we've been doing it. So thank you. And remember to always keep your kingdom
wet.
Cool. Oh, wet.
Nemo.
Wet bandits.
I believe submarines. Underneath deep blue sea, saw the flags Japanese. No one will believe me. Ran back to the town bar and I told